When I was asked to speak a few weeks ago, I told Brother Willie that perhaps I couldn't speak long enough to take up the time. And now that this morning in our worship service, a brother got up and read my text, and Brother Meyer gave most of my sermon. I don't know whether I can take up very much time or not. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is the writer talking about? The Lord is my shepherd. Could this be the one who we read about in Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Could this be the one of whom the psalmist says in the 19th Psalm, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork? In the 8th Psalm, he says, behold the heavens, the work of thy fingers. This was quoted this morning by our brother. Yes, this is the Lord it's talking about. Think for just a minute of what that means. The heavens declare the glory of God. The other night down here, we were looking up at the sky, and I said, there's the Great Dipper, and there's the North Star. The North Star. Someone has figured out that light travels 186,000 miles a second. You can't hardly comprehend that. But these people who study the stars tell us that about the time that Columbus landed on the shore, and not very far, and many miles from here, the light that we are now receiving from the North Star started when Columbus discovered America, almost 500 years, at 186,000 miles a second. The mind cannot grasp, cannot comprehend the distance. And there we were looking up at that little pinpoint of light. How many million miles away? Let's go the other direction. Back in Iowa, all my uncles and my father and grandfathers all worked in the coal mine. My grandfather came over from Scotland. He worked in the coal mine. My father worked in the coal mine. Started when he was 8 years old. All my uncles worked in the coal mine, and one of them took the trouble to do a lot of studying. And he found out that scientists have figured out that it takes 1,200 years to make 1 inch of coal. And you know what coal is made of? Coal is made up of vegetation. I myself, and perhaps you may have too, sometime or another, seen prints of the ferns and the flowers in a chunk of coal. 1,200 years to make an inch. But sometimes the coal mines might have 6 feet of coal. And you multiply that out. Well, that's only 96,000 years. That's not very long, considering how old some of the things are, perhaps in the earth. But there's something else that has to be figured. That 6 feet of coal is 400 feet deep. There's 400 feet of earth and rock and stone and flake on top of that 6 feet of coal. Can we comprehend how old, how far back creation? Let's go somewhere else. out in Utah, Vernal, Utah. You can walk along the platform, and right over there, about 25 feet, in the solid rock, is the skeleton of a dinosaur, perhaps 40 or 50 feet long. And they're drilling it out, digging it out of the solid rock. You say, well, that's sure millions of years ago, that was buried in the silt and the sand, and it's been petrified, and it's in the solid rock. Yes, but this is not down in the swamp. This is not down in the valley. This is not down in buried under miles of earth. This is on top of the mountain. The rock is on top. How did it get there? How old? Is this my Lord we're talking about? That created these things? You know, the stars, as our brother was mentioning this morning, in Genesis, there's only five words regarding the creation of the stars. He made the stars also. The other night, out of camp, I heard a noise, and I got up, stepped outside. I discovered later that it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, just before dawn. And the stars were beautiful. And the Milky Way was stretching across the heavens. And over here there was some kind of a comet or something with a streak come down through the sky. He made the stars also. You know what that kind of suggests to me? The Word of God is talking about creation here. And he says, he made the stars also. He says, look at the heavens. Look at the Big Dipper. Look at the North Star. Look at Orion. Look at the Pleiades. Look at the Milky Way. He made the stars also. That's nothing to what I'm going to show you in glory. Yes, that's my Lord. That's the Lord of the Psalm. The Lord of creation. But he's also the Lord of the cross. In Philippians, we read, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and became a servant, and was found in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, that's the Lord. The Lord of creation is the Lord also of the cross. The Lord is my shepherd. We need a shepherd. Mankind needs a shepherd. Isaiah tells us, all have sinned and all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, mankind is trying to find his own way today, and all he's doing is stumbling around in the dark, going this way and that way. I remember coming along the highway out in the west one time. And over there on the other side of the fence was a snow fence. I don't know whether any of you people remember what a snow fence looks like. But to keep the snow from drifting over the highway. And it's about set out about 40 feet from the main fence. And it's open at both ends. There's plenty of room both ends. Here's a flock of sheep over in the pasture. And here's one sheep behind the snow fence, running back and forth. And here was 40 feet of open space this way and 40 feet of open space that way. And he's trying to get through the snow fence to where the other sheep are. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. My shepherd, The Lord is my shepherd. He cares for us, watches over us. In 1 Peter we read, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In Psalm 55, He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. We need a shepherd. And who is the shepherd? The Lord Himself said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He also said, I know my sheep and am known of mine. Then again he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And here's the clincher. He said, I and my Father are one. Yes, we're safe in His hand. We're safe in the Father's hand. And He said, I and my Father are one. I shall not want. What does that mean? I shall not want. We know from God's word in Philippians that God shall supply all our need. And Hebrews tells us about grace to help in time of need. We need many things. We think we need many things. God is able to supply that which we do need. We may want many things, but do we need them? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me. In other words, you're not going to do it yourself. You're not going to stop long enough or be quiet long enough to let God feed you and take care of you. He maketh me. You need to stop. You need to relax. You need to rest under His loving care. He maketh me. God is saying, in order for you to take in what I have for you, the promises I have for you, the care I have for you, the love I have for you, you've got to stop and see what God has for you. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. What's the first thing you think of that you realize when you look upon green pastures? An abundance of rain. An abundance of water. An abundance of rain. Green pastures. And what would rain speak to us of? The blessings of God. The blessings of our Lord. The love of our Lord. The richness of our Lord. There's the richness of His goodness spoken to us in Romans 2. And there's the riches of His glory in Romans 8. And there's the riches of His grace in Ephesians. And there's the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God in Romans 11. And the unsearchable riches of Christ in Ephesians. And green pastures mean something else. Sunshine. An abundance of sunshine. Have you ever stopped long enough to bask in His love? In the sunshine of His love? In the light of His love? And His care? Have you stopped long enough to count your blessings? Green pastures. An abundance of rain and an abundance of sunshine. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. God's going to show us something else. Still waters. The Word of God. Still waters. Many years ago, an uncle of mine, it was this same brother who studied about the coal mining. He was in the hospital in Des Moines. And he was in a ward with two other men in bed in that same room. And it was his practice to read to them out of the scriptures when the occasion arose. And this particular day he asked them if they cared that he read out of the Bible to them. And they said no. So he started to read. And he just read chapter after chapter after chapter. For a long time he read just no comment, just read the scriptures. Pretty soon they were interrupted by the nurse. She come in. She said, "Now I'll have to take your pulse." So she took one man's pulse, recorded it, took the other man's pulse, recorded it, the other man's pulse, recorded it. And as she walked to the door, she was reading her chart. She said, "Well, that's strange." My uncle said, What is the matter? What is it?" She says, "All three of you men, your pulse is exactly the same." The quieting effect of the Word of God. Job made a remarkable statement in the 34th chapter. He says, "When he giveth quietness, who can cause trouble?" Still waters. When I was a boy, I used to roam the woods and the pastures and the fields. And there were two creeks that we'd done our fishing in as boys. And we knew where all the deep holes were and where the catfish were. And we knew where the springs were. We could get a refreshing drink when we wanted it. And I can always remember when we looked down into that spring and we were just about to get a drink of water, we could see our own reflection in that still water. And that's what you see right here in this, when you look into here. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In the 14th Psalm, we read two times, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Yes, you get a reflection of yourself in the Word of God, the still waters. But then you see a new face in the still waters. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You look into the still waters, you can see the reflection of the blue sky, reminding us of the royalty and the glory of God. You can see something else sometimes reflected in the still waters. You can see clouds, an indication of trouble coming to this world. Trouble. In Proverbs we read, "As faith answers to faith in waters, so the heart of man to man." Yes, we need to be led beside the still waters and the green pastures. We need the quieting effect of the Word of God. You ever notice how much complaining there is in the world today? We complain. If the sun's shining, we want it to be cloudy. It's too hot. If it's cloudy, we want the sun to shine. If it's raining, we want it to stop raining. If it's cold, we want it to warm up. If it gets too hot, we want it to turn cold. We talk about the weather, we complain about the weather. Mark Twain made the remark that everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. We complain about everything and about everybody. Some years ago, we went fishing out in Wyoming. And we turned off the highway. And we went about 15 miles back into the hills, a place called Shell Creek Canyon. And we went as far as our cars could go because of the rocks and the boulders. And then we had to walk a couple of miles. But where we came to a stop with our cars was the camp of a sheep herder. And it was about noon. And I suppose he had a couple of thousand sheep. And you never heard such a racket in all your life. Just a continual baa, baa, baa from thousands of sheep. And when we went away from that place, I believe everyone had the same thing in their mind. Now I know what they mean by that remark, a crazy sheep herder. It would drive you crazy. Sometimes wonder, how can the Lord stand or put up with all of our complaining and our arguing and our fighting and finding fault? Another time, we were going over the Bighorn Mountains, and it was early in the morning. And all of a sudden, we came upon a sheep herder and one of his dogs sitting on a boulder beside the road. We stopped. "Where are your sheep?" And he pointed down the valley. And there we could see them fanning out down through the valley, thousands of them. And there was hardly a sound. They had just been released and they were down there feeding. They were spreading out feeding down in the valley. If you and I could do a little more feeding in the green pastures beside the still waters, I'm sure that God wouldn't find or hear so much complaining and filing of grievances, as the unions today say, filing of grievance. We would be more satisfied, more content. Still waters. In Corinthians we read, "Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known." Still waters are often deep, and when you contemplate deep waters, you think of something mysterious. And there's lots of mysteries in God's Word. In 1 John we read, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is." Yes, there's lots of mysteries. And we'll not know the answers till a coming day. Deep waters. "Yea, so I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I venture to say that there's not a one of us here in this room that haven't walked through the valley of the shadow. Can you imagine a flock of sheep in a valley, in the Judean hills, and it's night, and they're settled down beside the waters and the green pastures, and it's dark. And suddenly, from the cliff top or on the hillside, comes a blood-curdling cry of a wolf. And there's a shiver runs through that flock of sheep. But also they can hear the rod of the shepherd tapping on the hard stony ground. He's not in the middle of the flock so that the sheep are protecting him. He's on the outside walking around. When you received that letter in the mail, did you hear his voice? When you received that telephone call, did you know that he was near? When you sat in that funeral parlor, did you hear his footsteps? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Way over in Deuteronomy, Moses told the people and Joshua, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He will provide for you. Joy should be ours. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And I'm sure that if we could let him make us to lie down in the green pastures and let him lead us beside the still waters, our cup would be running over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the 17th Psalm, the last verse, the psalmist says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What's it going to be like? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. Former things are passed away. Somewhere, I picked up this little, it isn't exactly a poem. I might read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd, perfect salvation. I shall not want perfect satisfaction. He maketh me to lie in green pastures, perfect rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters, perfect refreshment. He restoreth my soul, perfect restoration. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, perfect guidance. I will fear no evil, perfect protection. Thou art with me, perfect company. Thy rod and thy staff, perfect comfort. Thou preparest a table, perfect provision. Thou anointest my head, perfect consecration. My cup runneth over, perfect joy. Goodness and mercy shall follow me, perfect care. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, perfect destiny. My friend, we've tried to give you a few little thoughts from the 23rd Psalm. How that the Lord can be a shepherd to you, how you need a shepherd, how that God's Son went to the cross, made himself of no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And he went to the cross on my behalf and your behalf. We've tried to show you a little what pleasure there is, what rest there is, what blessing there is by letting the Lord make us lie down in green pastures. And by letting him lead us beside the still waters. And how that we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that I've retired, and before I retired from the job that I had, you always hear the question, how old are you? And I suppose many of you today have had that question 100 times or more. How old are you? How many years have you been around? How old are you? How young are you? They say that I'm growing old. I've heard them tell it times untold. In language plain and bold, but I'm not growing old. This frail old shell in which I dwell is growing old, I know full well, but I'm not the shell. What if my eyesight's growing dim? Still I can see to follow him who sacrificed his life for me upon the cross of Calvary. My hearing may not be as keen as in the past it may have been. Still I can hear my Savior say, in whisper soft, this is the way. The outward man, do what I can to lengthen out life's little span, shall perish and return to dust as everything in nature must. The inward man, the scriptures say, is growing stronger every day, and how can I be growing old when safe within my Savior's fold? Ere long my soul shall fly away and leave this tenement of clay. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to see the everlasting prize. I'll meet you on streets of gold and prove that I'm not growing old. Our Father, we come to thee at the end of this little talk, and we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, that one who is our shepherd, that one who takes care of his sheep. And we realize how helpless and how lost and how feeble we would be by ourselves, trying to do something for ourselves, and how much we need a shepherd, how much we need a Savior. We thank thee for him, for the salvation that he wrought upon Calvary, and we pray for this word that has gone forth. Perhaps there are some in our audience that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as shepherd. We pray for them and for their precious souls. We thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.